It's good to be with you folks tonight. My name is David Owens. This is my wife, Hannah. And by the way, she wasn't speaking in tongues, amen? Just in case some of you might be wondering, what was she even saying? Well, she was singing that part in Spanish, amen? So she grew up in Mexico City. She spent there 8 years with her family as missionaries in Mexico City, and she learned Spanish growing up. So we're going to Argentina where they speak Spanish, so it's a huge blessing that she already speaks Spanish. And I grew up also on the field of Argentina most of my life, and my parents are missionaries there in Argentina also. Now you may be wondering, brother, your last name is Owens, but you look a little Hispanic. You know, what's going on here? Well, my dad is from the United States. He's actually from Decatur, Illinois, soybean capital of the world. And he went to Bible college, but he couldn't find a wife, you know. He would ask out a girl. They would tell him no, another girl, no. So he finally went to the mission field single. But there at language school in Mexico, he met my mom, which he wanted her to become his Spanish teacher. So she became his Spanish teacher, and then she became his wife after a while. So not only did he get the language, but he also got the wife, amen? So they've been there for about close to 30 years, serving the Lord there in Argentina. And I grew up thinking I was saved, but I wasn't. And until the age of 17, I came under conviction, and I personally trusted Christ as my Savior at the age of 17. And the Lord led me to Bible college, and that's where the Lord also touched my heart concerning missions. And it was in my junior year at a missions conference where He said, David, I prepared you, and now I'm calling you to go back to Argentina. I had surrendered my life, said, Lord, just whatever you want me to do. I mean, just whatever you want with my life. And so I surrendered, and I remember that day I felt the call of the Lord, and just he put in my heart the desire, the zeal to go back to Argentina and serve him there. And that's also where I met my wonderful wife, and I'm thankful for her. And she was saved at the age of 7, and she is originally from Georgia, the Peach State. And at this time, we are going to show you a video of our ministry that we plan to do in Argentina, and also a little bit more about the country, and then we will open it up for questions after that, okay? So thank you for having us this morning, this evening.
It's just another busy day, a day at work, school, or simply catching up with friends. In the capital and many other cities in Argentina, it's just another day. A day of empty souls flooding the streets looking for something or someone to fill their void. They don't know that Jesus is the only one that can fill the emptiness in their hearts. There are many who do not believe in God, while others are trusting in good deeds and hoping for the best. What they really need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It would not just be another day if they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. From the subtropics in the north to the Tierra del Fuego in the southern tip, Argentina is over 2,000 miles long. To the western border, you can see the Andes Mountains, then moving to the central region forms the vast Pampas. Its rich soil is occupied by many grazing cattle and also used to grow grain. The Spanish and Italians were the pioneer settlers in this vast country, giving it diversity and the largest Jewish population in Latin America. Each people group added to the country's lifestyle, and Castilian Spanish became the official language spoken in Argentina. Argentines are full of life, love to talk, and have a nightlife culture. With Argentina being the second largest exporter of red meat, the asado, which is a traditional cookout, takes place on weekends. The drink mate is a popular tea with deep roots in Argentines' everyday life. It is sipped from a gourd through a metal straw and is never drank alone. Rather, it is passed around with friends. Of course, Argentines are well known to be passionate about their soccer, our football.
The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This command was given by Jesus to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. This mandate was given over 2,000 years ago, and it is just as important today as it was then. It hasn't changed, and the need is still great. We as Christians are commanded to have an impact not only in our Jerusalem, but also unto the uttermost. We want to begin doing that starting in Argentina and extending into the world. Argentina has 23 states or provinces. 7 of these provinces do not have one single church that is preaching the gospel and sound doctrine, and 7 of these have only one. There are cities and towns of 50,000, 100,000, and even 500,000 that do not have one single church. This represents millions of souls that are dying without one opportunity to hear the gospel. We must go before it's too late. The scriptures clearly say the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We will begin by starting our first church in Córdoba, Argentina. Córdoba is the second largest city in Argentina with a population of 2 million and the province a population of 3.5 million. It is located right in the heart of Argentina and strategic to reach other parts of the country. Córdoba is in desperate need of churches that preach the gospel and sound doctrine. We want to see people saved, discipled, and established in the faith. Our desire is to start Bible institutes to train pastors and leaders. Our goal is to train leaders so that they can go out and start churches, therefore reaching more souls for the Lord. Not only do we want to train these men, but also equip them so that they will be able to start churches and train other leaders. We endeavor to plant Bible preaching, local Baptist churches throughout Córdoba, Argentina, and surrounding regions. Each church that we seek to plant should be autonomous and self-governing. This church planting vision is not only for this province, but to extend all across the country. Not only do we want to start the churches, but also assist them as they move forward for the Lord.
Would you consider partnering with us as we reach lost souls in Argentina? Will you help us by starting churches that spread the gospel throughout the country? You can make a difference in the people of Argentina.
Alrighty, thank you, brother, for showing that video. And at this time, I would like to open it up for questions that you might have concerning maybe the country, concerning maybe the ministry that we plan to do there in Argentina. Just wanted to see if there's any questions. No questions? Yes, sir.
Will you be working alone, or will you be with someone else there in that city that you're going to?
We plan to work with a missionary there. There's a missionary unit, you could say, two missionaries. One is actually retiring, and there is a younger missionary that is going to be taken over there, but they're working in one church at this time, and so we plan to just be under that ministry for about 6 months to a year for us to get established, and also looking for a place to find a building for the first church, and also a place for us to rent and also get adapted to the city. My wife has been there. We went last December, and so she'd never been to Argentina. Also for her adaptation and her there getting adapted to the culture. So we would be working with that missionary there for that time, and then we would go on our own after that. So, alrighty. Any other questions you may have? We're about 8 hours from my parents. They're in Tucumán, which is in the northern part of the country. And we would be 8 hours south, more in the central area, central part of the country, in Córdoba. And if you go 8 hours southeast, you would hit the capital there, Buenos Aires. So we're kind of in between the capital there and where my parents are at. So, yes, it's pretty far from north to south. In Argentina, it can take between 60 and 70 hours to travel that. It is takes a long time, over 2,000 miles long. And what was I going to say there? Of course, the roads are not as nice as the United States, but there is some interstates, but then there's a two-lane for some part. So, alrighty. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
How do Argentina's people accept your literature? Do you hand out things? Do you go door to door?
Right. We go door to door. Depends really what city you're in. The further north you go, the more people that have mixed with the indigenous people. But the further south you go, it's actually mostly people that have straight European descent. So they typically are a little more harder to reach. For example, in Buenos Aires, the capital, it is a very difficult place. You know, you hand out a track and they might, you know, just throw it there right in front of you. And you really can't go door to door in Buenos Aires because there's mostly apartments. And so you ring the doorbell, they'll be like, no, sorry, I can't come to the door, no. So it's very hard to reach those people. It would be mainly by contacts, personal relationships, creating a contact with them. But in Córdoba, you still have some of that, but people are more open because it's further north. But it just depends really what city. Now, the city where my parents are at, people are a lot warmer and friendlier and more open to the gospel and receiving literature. So, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
You have a lot of agriculture down there.
We do. Yeah, we have a lot of soybean, corn and soybean in the central part of Argentina. And then as you move further north, where my parents are at is kind of like Florida. So they have lemons, oranges, sugarcane. And then in the south, in the Patagonia, they have apples. And I think they have also oil and some mining, because to the west, there's the Andes Mountains. So some mining. But yes, agriculture. And also they raise a lot of cattle in the Pampas. So a lot of cattle. And so red meat is really cheap. So a lot of people eat red meat. They eat it every day, pretty much. It's just a part of the diet. So yeah. When we went in December with my wife, we actually had several families from the church invite us to their homes and eat. And they, for three consecutive days, they all made steak cookouts. So we had three consecutive days. We had this big cookout and really just two pieces of lettuce. And they put like a cutting board, a wooden cutting board, and they just serve you all this meat and say, you know, you better eat it, you know. If you don't eat it, what? They're asking, what? You don't like it? Or, well, we've had a lot of meat already. But, yeah, we had it three straight days, so it was a lot of meat. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've been 6 months, 7 months full-time. And we've raised about 20% of the support. And we've been married about 8 months a little over 8 months. So we took a month off, and then we started full-time deputation. So we've been on the road a lot. All righty. Any other questions that you might have tonight? Okay. Well, if you would open your Bibles there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just want to thank you for having us tonight. And you've been so kind to us yesterday and today. And many of you have asked, Brother David, what is that cup out there, you know, that's on the table? What is that, you know? It's not drugs, okay? And it's not the peace pipe either. What it is, it's a typical drink from Argentina, a tea drink called mate. So what they do, it's a plant, a shrub that grows in South America, and they make tea leaves, and then they put it in that cup. And then they add hot water, and then there's also like a metal straw, which acts like a filter. And so they sip it, and you can add sugar, honey, or drink it bitter. So they sip it, and then they pass it around, and everyone, believe it or not, drinks out of the same straw. Can you believe that? And so the person that makes it, they prepare it, and then they pass it to the next person. So if you're out visiting and you go to somebody's house, that's the first thing they will invite you, you know. They'll start the hot water and so that we can drink mate. So that's something very typical from Argentina. So that's the cup out there in the table. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, just want to thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight at Grace Baptist Church. And thank you, Lord, for these folks that came out on a Tuesday night. And Lord, I know it's cold, and a lot of them probably just got out of work. And just thank you, Lord, for their sacrifice and their burden and interest for missions, Lord. And just thank you for them coming out tonight, and just help me be a blessing and encouragement to them, and help me, Lord, deliver your word the way you would want me to do it, and just use me, Lord, for your glory. And all this I pray in your name, amen. You know, if you think of a church that was backslidden, if you think in the New Testament of a church that was having struggles and difficulties, that would be the church at Corinth. They had a lot of sin in that church. They had immorality. They had the mishandling at the Lord's table. They had divisions. They had strife. So the Apostle Paul is writing here to this for this letter to this church. And we find here in verse chapter 13, the chapter of love, which is kind of an oasis here in this book. But if you read before that, he talks about the gifts and the spiritual gifts. And, you know, a lot of these members here at the church at Corinth were fighting against each other because some were doing some gifts and some thought, you know, my gift is better than yours. And bottom line, there was a lot of division, a lot of fighting, a lot of bad things going on there at Corinth. So as we enter here in chapter 13, he just goes very deeply to say, look, you can speak with the tongues of men. You can prophesy. You can preach. You can do great sacrifices. Even be burned at the stake. Know a lot. Have a lot of knowledge. But if you don't have that love, then it is nothing. It is not worth anything. So we see here the greatness of love. we see the importance of love. You know, the person that showed the largest display of love is Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he loved you and I so much that he gave his own life for us in sacrifice. And that was God's desire to save humanity. That was the purpose of Jesus coming, to provide salvation for mankind, Jew and Gentile alike. But you know, my friend, tonight the world has a different concept of love. To them, love is just, what can I get? You know, it's a selfish love. It's a self-centered love, not true biblical love. I used to work for a company called True Green. And basically, I was one of those annoying people that would come to your door and say, do you have everything ready for this season for your lawn? And so I would sell that True Green and make sure everybody had green grass. But during training, they would tell us, you know, David, when you go out selling, you have to remember this acronym, WIIFM. What's in it for me when you go out there? What is in it for me? And I just think that perfectly illustrates what mankind thinks, you know, what the natural man thinks. What is in it for me? What can I get out of this? Instead of the attitude of Christ, when he gave his life, when he gave of himself. You know, what can I get? The Bible says there in verse number two, the Bible says, the last part of that verse, I am nothing. And then it says there in verse number three, it profiteth me nothing. So we see the importance of doing things because of a love for God and a love for others. If you would be so kind to turn there to 1 John chapter 4. Very briefly tonight, just want to see different recipients of that love that we should have. 1 John chapter 4. We see the importance of love in our lives, but we also see the recipients of that love. 1 John chapter 4 in verse number 8. The Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 19. The Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. You know, many people come to church. Do things for God, and they think, wow, God, you need to be grateful that I am doing, you need, look at what I'm doing. But the truth of the matter is, he first loved us. He first came looking for us. It's not that we looked for him. He first died for us. He first loved us when we weren't even born yet. The Bible says that in verse number 8, God is love. God is love. You know, our finite minds can't wrap our minds around this great truth. We can't even begin to comprehend the greatness, the immensity of God's love for us. He's the greatest example of that love. Romans 5:8, the Bible says, for God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we sinned, even though we failed, as humans, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And he made that salvation, that gift. The Bible says, but the gift of God, Romans 6:23, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no other way. It is not because of a church membership. It is not because of a baptism. If we go to Argentina, we ask an Argentine out in the street, what are you trusting in to get to heaven? Well, I was baptized when I was little. Well, I go to church on a regular basis. You know, I haven't killed anybody. I'm a pretty good person. But the Bible says that it is because of the grace of God. Putting our faith, the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says also in Matthew chapter 22, in verse 37, I'll read it to you. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You know how many things would be solved in this world? How many things, issues would be solved in our churches if we loved the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our soul? You know, we are commanded to love the Lord, first and foremost, a love for God. You know, His love for us is just an immense love. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see His great love. In Romans chapter 8, we see His inseparable love. You know, no matter what we do, He will continue to love. He is faithful in loving. He is constant, eternal, with no strings attached. Us human beings, we love, but we expect something back. But He is faithful in loving us, regardless of our faults. But if He is faithful in loving us, let me ask you tonight, could we be faithful in loving Him, in serving Him tonight? We see a love for God. Number two, we see a love for others. 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 2. In others, I mean our brethren. 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 2. As we were seeing in the church in Corinth, all those fights and divisions that were going on. And then the Bible says here in 1 John, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. You know, when we love God, we can better love our brethren. You say, but Brother David, you don't know what this person has done to me. You don't even, but the love of God, what did we do to Him? We put Him on the cross. But He loved us. He was faithful to us. When we love God, we can be enabled to love our neighbor, to love our brethren. You know, the natural man doesn't know how to love, but we can submit ourselves to the Lord and love our brethren. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse number 20, If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Friends, tonight, if we love God, we need to love our brethren. The same way that he loved me, I should love. The same way that he forgave me, I should forgive. The same way that he is patient with me, I should be patient with others. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, And the second is like unto it, the second commandment, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As thyself. The same way that I love myself. That's really tough. But you know, we always take care of ourselves. We know how to look out for ourselves. We look out for our best interests. But the same way, we should look for our neighbor, our brethren. And if you would turn there to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We see a love for God, a love for our brethren. In number 3, a love for the world. A love for the world. Now, not the things of this world, but the souls in this world. Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 36, we see the greatness, the importance of that love, and how, first and foremost, that love for the Lord. You know, if we love the Lord, you know, the things will follow in Christian service. And then we will be able to better love our brethren. But also we will develop a love for this world. The Bible says there in verse number 36, Jesus, as he was traveling with his disciples, he said, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. But notice there in verse 36, But when he saw the multitudes. When he saw the multitudes. Key word there, seeing the multitudes, he opened his eyes and he saw the need that was there. And he was moved with love and with compassion. And we as Christians today, we need to open our eyes and see the great need around us. How souls are dying and going to the lake of fire because people are not loving them, are not having compassion. They are not getting a clear gospel presentation, even in our own United States today. You know, we need more missionaries, more pastors, more people to go out and proclaim the truth, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, right here in our own land, in our Jerusalem, but also across the world. You know, we see Jesus as our great example. It says he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. You know, as we said in the video, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that command was for us. If we're believers tonight, that command is for us to extend ourselves and make him known among the nations, whether it be around the corner here in Taylorville, Illinois, or around the world. We need that love for souls, that love that the Lord Jesus Christ had, that compassion, that love that he had. You know, I can't think of a better example tonight than the missionary Jim Elliot, missionary Jim Elliot to Ecuador. And he was a missionary in the 50s to the jungles of Ecuador, to the Auca Indians there in the Amazon jungle of Ecuador. And, you know, he had his whole life in front of him, and, you know, people were telling him, don't go to that tribe. That's too dangerous. Those people are savages. They will kill you. They will harm you and your family. But, you know, he had that plane, and he circled for weeks, months, dropping baskets of food and trying to make contact with that tribe. And he had a love for the souls in that place. But you know, one day he decided to land in that beach in Ecuador. And he tried to make personal contact. And at first they were friendly, but all of a sudden they pulled out their spears. And you know, they killed him right there, threw him in the river. And what a sad thing. And they killed all four of those missionaries there that day. And the whole world saw that and they said, wow, what a waste. You know, these young men had their entire lives. They could have done a career. They could have done this and that. But they just wasted their lives in the jungles of Ecuador. But you know what, my friend? After a while, this entire village, this entire tribe got saved because of their testimony. And many, many missionaries surrendered after that. And many souls were added because of their testimony, because of their love for souls. Robert Moffat, missionary in Africa, they asked him, what moves you, Mr. Moffat? And he said, the smoke of 1,000 villages, untouched and unreached. You know, my friend, we need a love for the lost souls right here in our own United States and across the world. Finally, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse number 13, we see a love for God that we need to develop, a love for our brethren and a love for the lost souls of this world. Colossians chapter 3 in verse number 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And notice 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know, putting on that love of God, which is the bond of perfectness tonight. Just want to encourage you tonight. Would you love the Lord more? Would that love increase? Would you and I have that love for the Lord that will motivate us to serve him more? Will you and I have a love for others, for our brethren? Maybe there's been a quarrel for years with someone, and you know the Lord has been touching your heart. You need to make it right. We need to make it right. And would you and I have a love for the lost souls in this world? Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for the opportunity to preach your word and just open the scriptures here before this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to present our burden for Argentina. And I pray, Lord, that it was clear and that people could see the burden and vision that we have for Argentina. And just want to ask you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, Lord, that you would just move us, Lord, just to have a passion, Lord, for souls and also a love for you, Lord, and just to get closer to you and your word, and just help us to grow, Lord, and help me to grow in my personal relationship with you, and just help us, Lord, to see that need all around us and to be moved and have a love for the lost souls in this world. And all this we pray in your name. Amen.